Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Stephanie.
And this is Jahaira. And welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
As always, we want to state a trigger warning because we will talk about sensitive topics. Como siempre, queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
In this specific episode, we will talk about kidnapping and murder. En el episodio de hoy, vamos a hablar de secuestro y asesinato.
Antes de empezar, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Okay, let's begin.
Today, we will be talking about a case local to us. Michelle Lee, un caso de aquí en la área de la Bahía.
Yeah, this one is so crazy to me because I remember this being on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember my mom pointing out this case, and it shook the whole community. It's crazy because all the places mentioned in this case are places we know or have been to.
Michelle Lee, a 26-year-old Vietnamese-American nursing student, disappeared from Kaiser Permanente Medical Center in Hayward, California on May 27, 2011. Para los que no son de aquí, Hayward es una ciudad localizada en Alameda County, here in California. It's about 30 minutes away from San Francisco, without traffic, of course. It's literally only a few cities down from where Steph and I are from, actually.
Uno siempre piensa que estas cosas no pasan en nuestras comunidades. Pero sí, este hospital de Kaiser en Hayward, California, fue el hospital al que yo iba cuando era niña. Yo reconozco el hospital porque cuando investigamos este caso, vimos los videos de seguridad.
Yeah, actually, I even lived in Hayward for a short period of time, so I too know the area surrounding the hospital. And I mean, like, just Hayward is so close to us. It's like literally kind of in our backyard.
Yeah, Hayward is so close. It's like we, you know, run errands.
I think that's where we go karaoke.
Oh, yeah.
It is. So it's super close to us.
Yeah, yeah. And so Michelle was not a Bay Area native, pero su ambición y ganas de estudiar brought her here. Michelle era una muchacha joven con una carrera por delante. She grew up in San Diego County and graduated high school and got the opportunity to move to San Francisco Bay Area for undergrad. And after graduating from her undergrad, she decided to stay in the Bay Area. She started attending nursing school in Samuel Merritt University in Oakland, California.
Una de sus metas era algún día llegar a ser una nurse practitioner como su mamá. Desafortunadamente, su mamá falleció de cáncer cuando Michelle era adolescente. Y a pesar de este dolor, ella salió adelante y también tuvo que ser una buena hermana y role model para su hermano menor.
Yeah, she had to take up a lot of responsibilities and pretty much grow up fast because her mother was not with her. And so she had to balance these older sister responsibilities with school.
Yeah, I feel like if you are the oldest child, you definitely know what that's like. I'm the youngest, so I don't really get to experience it, but I can definitely like look up to my older sister and just everything that she does and continues to do. It's definitely like the title of the oldest sibling. So I give Michelle props for being able to balance it all.
It's like saying, if there is a will, there is a way.
Exactly.
Esta historia empieza cuando ella todavía era estudiante y trabajaba en varios hospitales porque así funcionaba su escuela. Los mandaban a diferentes hospitales para poder aprender y agarrar experiencia.
Esa noche estaba trabajando en Kaiser, allí en Hayward. El 27 de mayo del 2011 fue cuando ella desapareció en el medio de su turno de trabajo. Sus compañeros de trabajo decían que Michelle no dejaría su trabajo a medio turno. No era algo que ella hacía porque ella le daba importancia a su trabajo y no que se pues era su carrera ultimately, you know?
Ya, yeah, ella era muy responsable, hubiera avisado que tenía que salir pronto, and even in an emergency, she would still notify that she was gonna leave.
Right, I feel like it's a bit of like, common sense just to let someone know that you need to step out, even if it's just for an emergency.
Or even if she were to leave, like, you know, send a quick text or something with a short explanation.
Exactly. Like, I think it's really rare for someone just to leave out of the blue with no explanation, nothing. So right off the bat, this seems a bit off, especially to those who personally know Michelle. But let's take a look, because they actually had the surveillance cameras from this day. So Steph and I took a look at the like surveillance videos. And ahorita estamos viendo el video de las cámaras del hospital para poder describírselas a ustedes. Y se ve que Michelle camina por los pasillos del hospital normalmente. So, no reason for anyone to suspect as they passed by her. Seems like everything is normal. Y entra al garage de carros y camina hacia su coche, pero no se alcanza a ver cuando llega a su coche because it's out of the camera framed. Pero ella se ve normal, casi como si fuera a descansar un rato durante su break or something.
Whenever security footage is missing, it's just so unfortunate because that piece right there is like the key to this case. And it's just so unfortunate. And yeah, en el video, Michelle no se ve con prisa y tampoco no se ve preocupada. I mean, yo siempre me voy a descansar a mi coche porque a veces, you know, the break rooms están llenos or, you know, I want to make a phone call with privacy, and a veces, you know, sometimes you don't have the energy, you know, de estar con gente, and, you know, you want to take your break, you know, alone. So, yeah, en el video se ve todo normal.
No, it's true, yeah, sometimes you just want to have some time to yourself, you know, so everything looks normal, and a los pocos minutos del video de seguridad, se ve saliendo del parking garage rápidamente. But if anyone would have seen this car accelerating from the parking lot, I mean, it wouldn't be too alarming because it could have just been a person with an urgency, you know, or just someone speeding by. But maybe if someone would have caught a glimpse of what was inside, then maybe we wouldn't even be telling the story.
Right. Like, again, if only the footage would show the right parts needed for this case, maybe we wouldn't be telling the story right now. And so, al poco tiempo, los compañeros de trabajo se dieron cuenta que Michelle todavía no había regresado. And the nurse instructor fue a buscarla. Y se ve por el video que ella y un security guard están buscando a Michelle y a su coche in the parking garage.
Cuando la estaban buscando, ya eran las 9 de la noche. Ya eran 2 horas desde cuando el carro salió del parking garage. Y precisamente en ese momento, vieron el coche de Michelle entrar otra vez to, you know, the parking garage. Y la compañera trata de agarrar la atención del carro, you know, maybe like wave it down or something. Pero el coche otra vez se sale y bien rápido.
Now, this is alarming. This is where things are not normal anymore. And the nurse instructor was really concerned. And I am so glad she didn't brush it off. Because, you know, it's really easy to.
Yeah.
And she immediately dialed 911 and reported the suspicious circumstances.
It was very suspicious. Like, it just blows my mind how the nurse instructor was literally there at the right time to see the car. You know? Like, what were the odds?
Yeah.
I literally got goosebumps when I first heard of this. But the morning after, at around 9:30, which is now 12 hours later since the whole suspicious circumstances the night before, police found Michelle's car parked outside an apartment building just a few blocks away from the hospital. But they didn't find signs of Michelle. El carro estaba estacionado como si ella lo hubiera dejado allí, like just a regular car that was parked. But the police was still going to look into it.
Nothing about this situation seemed normal. Like, something was definitely up. Toda la familia y amigos de Michelle estaban bien preocupados y le llamaban, pero ella no contestaba. Y entonces, 15 horas de estar desaparecida, ya por fin les contestó. A la familia y amigos les llegaban mensajes de Michelle diciendo que ella no estaba desaparecida y que nomás quería tiempo para sí misma, but they weren't buying it.
Yeah, I feel like friends and family always know when something's off.
Yeah, they felt like this wasn't Michelle because she wouldn't have gone that many hours without answering. Pensaron en todo tipo de razones en por qué pudo tardar en contestar, And whether she did or didn't have a phone charger, she would still find a way to communicate. So they started to question these messages, like if they were even her. So empezaron a pensar que alguien la tenía la fuerza.
No, yeah, I agree, because I feel like it's really rare nowadays for someone not to have a charged phone, if you ask me, you know, and like I said, like a simple text, you know, yeah. Like the day that all of this, you know, happened. Y su familia se vino desde San Diego para poder ayudar a encontrarla. Imagínate cómo estaban ellos estando tan lejos de ella. You know, like, I would have rushed as soon as I would have heard something, which is exactly what they did. And so her family and friends organized search parties, and they were doing everything they could.
They started to think of any possible suspects. And it's very normal for the police to start looking at boyfriends, ex-boyfriends, friends, or just anyone close to them because, you know, it's most likely that the attacker would be someone she knows.
As we have seen from previous cases, you know, friends and family did take note of Giselle Esteban, who was an ex-best friend of Michelle. The friendship goes back to high school in San Diego, where they both had the chance to move to the Bay Area after graduation. Giselle graduated from undergrad at San Francisco State University, and Michelle graduated from undergrad at San Jose State University. Su amistad terminó por celos y desconfianza. Their friendship ended because Giselle believed that Michelle had slept with her baby's father, which ultimately ruined Giselle's family. But los dos, Michelle y el baby daddy de Giselle, negaban esto.
Yeah, they definitely took note and also took note of Giselle's baby daddy, Scott Marisigan, since he was involved in this love triangle.
Ya que los investigadores pudieron investigar el coche y sus contenidos, declararon el caso como un homicidio y no una desaparición.
And this part is really unfortunate because by declaring it a homicide, it divided the police and Michelle's family because they did not believe it could be a homicide, especially because the police was not giving them a reason as to why they were declaring it as a homicide. And they weren't giving this information to the family because they wanted to protect the case. So that's why the family didn't believe them and remained hopeful. And so they decided to get a private investigator.
It's always interesting to hear how sometimes la policía no quiere dar información para, you know, quote unquote, the case to be private. But at the same time, it's like, this is a family searching for their daughter, you know? And al escuchar the word homicide, like, that must be terrifying.
Yeah, because it makes the assumption that she was killed and her family has no idea por qué esto se está diciendo. Like, they're just hoping for the best.
But like Steph said, they did get a private investigator, y este investigador creía que el crimen fue hecho por dos personas, por lo que sucedió en el estacionamiento de Kaiser. He just didn't believe that one person could have been able to put Michelle in the car and drive away so fast and smoothly and with no camera picking up more clues.
When I read about this, I didn't even think that more people could be involved, but it makes total sense. No one can hold someone against their will while driving so smoothly and peacefully, like there's nothing going on.
Yeah, like the car looked completely normal. So saying, like, when I read about this, I was like, huh, you know, and it's like, you really got to dissect everything because certain things can lead to certain conclusions. And, you know, that conclusion might just be what we're looking for. So they didn't have any leads and the case seemed to slow down, and they did the next best thing and turned to the public for any information. They got a tip from a jailmate, but it turned out to be about another case, so it wasn't related to Michelle at all. The police and family were working separately, but por fin la policía les dio un poco de información. Les dijo las locaciones de antena del teléfono móvil y empezaron a buscar en esas áreas. Ya iban más de 30 días sin saber nada de Michelle. Y día tras día, buscando en esas áreas, no estaban dando respuestas.
30 days? That's a long time without knowing anything about your loved one. That's, I don't even know how can someone get through that.
I feel like that's probably the worst, you know, just no sense of peace at all.
Yeah, like, it's hard to do anything, to concentrate in anything else but looking for your loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And la policía estaba haciendo sus propias investigaciones y ellos averiguaron que el día anterior de la desaparición, en video, se ve que Giselle, la ex amiga, estaba en la escuela de Michelle. And Giselle was not a student there. And vamos a describir lo que se ve en el video. Okay. And so now it's playing. And se ve que hay más gente en el video. So no está sola, pero sí se ve robando una llave de un profesor.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah. And so then, y se fija si la llave sirve para poder abrir las puertas.
Y luego regresa en la tarde, ya que está cerrado y no hay nadie.
So like when I first saw this security video, I immediately thought that these actions are not coincidental and that there for sure has to be more.
Yeah, I don't know, her actions just in general, it's like, what is she doing?
Yeah.
Pero continuando con el video, ahora se ve caminando y tiene una bata blanca y también se ve robando papeles, va como caminando por las clases, prendiendo computadoras. Pues esto no se ve bien para Giselle. Estando allí se ve muy, like, suspicious. Her actions are very, like, rare and out of place, I feel like. Like, taking a key from a professor at a school she doesn't attend, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and in this video, they're also noting that she does have some papers with her, and it looks like a class roster, so that's just something.
Like, why would she want a class roster?
And, like, fast forward into the case, también averiguaron que Giselle fue a una Apple store, y también hay un video para eso. And in the store, the Apple store, consigue que le quiten el código de teléfono de Michelle. And in the beginning, we mentioned the possibility of someone using Michelle's phone. So it very much seems like it could be Giselle.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
It is Giselle.
At this point, it was clear that Giselle was the one behind the disappearance of Michelle, to be honest. La policía quería asegurarse si Giselle actuó sola o con ayuda. So they wanted to look into Scott, who again was Giselle's baby daddy.
And they actually get a phone call from Scott saying that he had found Michelle's phone in his car.
That's super suspicious that he happened to find the phone weeks later. But this guy actually had evidence to help him out and leave him in the clear.
Yeah, prior to Michelle's disappearance, Scott had placed a restraining order on Giselle. And that's a smart man because he had recordings of their conversations where Giselle sounds angry and is yelling, and she even threatens him and Michelle repeatedly.
Yeah, that's so much evidence that is piling up against Giselle. Pero a Michelle todavía no la encontraban. They had no body, so all of the evidence they had at this point was just kind of like circumstantial.
In the beginning of the investigation, they actually searched her house and collected a sample of blood that was on her shoes. And now they also made the connection that their phones traveled together that same day of Michelle's disappearance.
La desaparición fue en mayo, y ahora la policía goes ahead and arrests Giselle on September 7th. So it has been a while of no answers for Michelle's family and friends.
It's always hard when there is no body because it's always harder to reach to a conclusion. So they kept searching, and on September 17th, 2011, they found human remains. Que luego confirmaron que sí era Michelle, pero no podían averiguar cómo murió porque ya había pasado mucho tiempo.
Por fin, un poco de paz para la familia de Michelle y justicia para ella. As you would think, Giselle admitted to killing Michelle, but she claimed to being provoked and that she acted in the heat of the moment. They wanted to charge her with voluntary manslaughter rather than first-degree murder.
Voluntary manslaughter and first-degree murder are very different. Voluntary manslaughter in California can go from 1 to 11 years in state prison, while first-degree murder is 25 years to life. Imaginen todo el dolor y aparte escuchando esto en la corte, I mean, querían agarrar la pena más mínima para Giselle.
Thankfully, though, Michelle did get justice, and Giselle was charged with first-degree murder and will be serving 25 years to life. Honestly, it makes no sense for them to even look at this case as voluntary manslaughter because it was clear that Giselle was planning this. Like, el día anterior de la desaparición de Michelle, esta Giselle, you know, she was found at the school, and obviously she had, like, a plan by what the videos show, but thankfully Michelle did get her justice.
So glad Michelle got justice and her family got some kind of closure. Nos da gusto que Michelle sí pudo agarrar justicia.
Y también paz para la familia de Michelle. Como dicen todas las mamás, en este mundo no hay amigos.
Right, definitely heard that one before. Pero en realidad hay que saber escoger amigos y también saber alejarlos de las malas amistades. Y uno siempre sabe cuando una amistad es sincera.
Yes, let's try to surround ourselves with genuine friendships, porque la verdad, uno nunca sabe.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We truly appreciate all the support. Gracias por escuchar nuestro podcast. Estamos muy agradecidas por todo el apoyo. Nos vemos a la semana que entra para otro episodio.